would especially appreciate your support.
You'd be my manager, Shalia. Now I'm like you.
And if he pays you.
Yes, it pays me.
Right? It's not bored.
All right. Yeah.
So, Bosai, we were talking about not bar not. De hetero.
In the case of Dogim Shalom Bakaro.
And we were focused on the sheet of Shmuel. That you're allowed to eat this fish with kuta. And we had a number of different shitos as to why that is so. And the Rabban shita is because of tam shlishi, that the tam goes from the basar into the walls of the kli, and from the walls of the kli into the fish, and that becomes tam sheni. That per se would be asur, but it cannot generate an isur in a kutah because that would be tam shlishi.
This should be A3.
I don't know if it'll fit
into
A4. I think you'll need A3. So what I do in that case, but everybody has their own method.
Yeah.
I turn around the safer and I do it this way. If you follow, this is the top of the screen.
Right. Yeah.
See if you can do that. Just try not to ruin the binding, but I'm not going to hold you responsible for the binding.
And we are looking for
That's what I don't know. You have to tell me what you're looking for based on what pages you have and what you don't have. You understand what I mean? Because honestly, I need you to sort of like lift from my shoulders the responsibility of doing the photo
out there. That's hay and vav
in your. In the old days, and I have such nostalgia for the old days.
Kufnun hay and kufnun vav.
Yechiel Prince would take care of this because he had a method of sending a message to our printer, and all I had to do before any shiur was to tell Yechiel what pages we needed, and he would immediately send it to the printer here. And I asked the secretary a million times if she could somehow link up my phone to the printer. And she says, we don't have the technology to do so. But Yechiel Prince was able to do so. And that took a tremendous headache off my head. But anyway, getting back to the case of not bar not, we have the Rabban Shita, and then we have the Balei HaTosfos. The Balei HaTosfos are of the opinion that Tam Sheni itself is not capable of generating an Isur. And according to the Balei HaTosfos, we don't have to come up with this whole structure of Tam Shlishi. That's totally unnecessary. A Tam Sheni, which is Heter Bola, is not included under Tam Ki Ikar. Period. That's the Balei HaTosfos. Now, the Nafkamina between the Rabban and the Balei HaTosfos would be first in the case where he cooks the fish in a fleshing pot, and now he wants to cook milk in the fish in a way that you can circumvent the Tam Shlishi. Do you follow my point? Because the Rabban's thesis of Tam Shlishi, which is mutter, is only because the fish has to give a Tam of Basar into the Kutach. But if the Kutach is being cooked with the Dogim, and now the Kutach is giving Tam into the Dogim, so I don't need to say, well, there's a Tam Shlishi and that's mutter. I'm going to say it's mutter because of a Tam Sheni, meaning that the Tam of the Basar in the Dogim could never possibly generate an Iser in the Kutach because it's already a Tam Sheni. The Rabban is not going to be happy with that because the Rabban says that Tam Sheni itself is Asur, and the only Heter here is because we have to take the Tam Sheni from the Basar in the Dogim, and now we have to transmit it to the Kutach, and that's already a Tam Shlishi. Now, take for example the following case. Let's say I were to take a kli that is saturated with tav basar. It's a fleshig pot that I've been using for who knows how long. And I place it into a utensil that's milch, except that is completely absorbed and saturated with the tav of chol. Everything's hot, and everything's a ben yomo, and there's no ben. Okay? Just to exclude all those possibilities. So now what happens is that if I pour water into the into this container, then what happens is that since there's a fire underneath the water, underneath the pots, so now the tav basar is going to go into the mayim, correct? And the tav cholov is going to go into the mayim. So simultaneously you have both a tav basar, thank you so much, you were very sensitive here to keep my place, and the tav basar and the tav cholov are both entering into this mayim. The Rabban is going to say it's asur. Tosa is going to say it's mutter. Rabban is going to say it's asur because what you end up with is a tav shedi, correct? Right? Because the tav basar is mixing in the mayim with the tav cholov in the mayim, and everything is a tav shedi. So the mayim now becomes saturated with a double tav, a tav of basar and a tav of cholov. The Rabban can't tolerate that because both of these ta'avim are ta'avim ki'ikar that are oser because of the principle of tav shedi. Tosas, on the other hand, would say the following. Tav shedi itself is not enough to be oser, as long as everything remains heter. So, for example, if I wanted to wash fleshig dishes inside a gigantic milk kapat, according to Tosas, it should be mutter. Why? Because the tav of the basar goes into the kli. From the kli, it goes into the mayim, and that's called the tav shedi, and it's hetera, and therefore everything should be mutter. The Ramban, on the other hand, is going to say that it's oser. Why? Because it's still a tav shedi, and the tav shedi is oser. However, Tosas says it's oser, but for a whole different reason. And Tosas says the reason why it's oser is because we only say that tav shedi is mutter.
Thank you, Brett.
In a situation where that tav shedi is not omed lios osur. No, let me say it a little better. It's not omed lihitztarev im tav chol. Do you hear this? If anybody wants to write this down, I have an extra pen here. This is very crucial. There's something called a tav sha'omid litzarev. Now, let's go back to the drawing board. Shmuel is talking about dogim sha'olu b'kara. That tav, which is a tav sheni, that Tosa says is mutter, because the basar went into the kalim into the fish, that's only mutter, says Tosa, because it's eino omid litzarev. He decides what he's going to do with that fish. If he decides that he wants to cook it with milchiks, that was his decision. But initially, when he cooks the fish in a fleshig pot, it wasn't omid litztarev with chol. Masha Einkein, if let's say I take two kalim, one is besari and one is chalavi, and I put them one inside the other, and I'm cooking them all together with mayim, and that's how you clean your dishes, in such a case, the tav, which we call a tav shedi, is omed litztarev with the other min, whichever direction you go. Either the tav basa that's entering into the mayim is omed litztarev with cholov, or vice versa, because I am simultaneously cooking both a pot of fleshiks with a pot of milk. So when does Tosas hold that a tav shedi is mutter, it's not included on the tav ki'ikar? That's because it's eino omed litztarev.
The Ran, by the way, without using that language, says something very similar. And he says that the problem of this dishwashing situation is that miyad, immediately, the tab of the basar goes into the chala, because they're both mixing in the same pot of water. What he means by miyad is that from the get-go, from the moment of the plata, it's already omed, it's omed litztarev. The Ramban, on the other hand, would certainly say that this is asur, regardless of whether you have the svar of omed litztarev, because the Ramban holds that tam sheni is asur.
So omed litztarev has to do with whether it creates an iser?
No, whether the two tamim, in this case basar and cholav, immediately at the moment of bli are mixed together. And that's going to be this case of the dishwasher. Why? Because everything is going into the hot water, and as soon as the tam leaves this kli, it's going to be mitztaref with the opposite tam, the other gender, if you follow what I mean.
Why would it ever not be?
Because he can decide what to do with the fish. He you know what I mean? He cooked fish in a fleshika pot. It doesn't mean that he... I'm not going to talk about a psychological plan on his part. That's not relevant. What's relevant is that the tam is a separate tam. The tam of basar in the dogim has its own life to it. It's independent of a tam cholav. Later on he decides he's going to cook it with milk. Then it's mitztarif, but then by that time it's a tam sheni that wasn't omed litztarif, which according to Tosis or according to Ramban it's a tam shlishi, whatever you want to say, but it doesn't generate an iser. But in the case where he's putting both tamim together as they're both niflat from the dofne akli, and one tam is basar, one tam is cholav, then you have to admit that was omed litztarif from the moment that the blia was polet, was niflat. And that's why dishwashing is really a serious problem, even though you and I would have said it should come under not bar not. Okay. So what, if I were to tell you that we want to look at the... at a page called Kuf Nun Vav. Would you be able to find such a page?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good. Now, in a paragraph that starts with the word Oud, but it's the second Oud, not the first one, mm-hmm. Ode to the second ode, we'll sing a song. Correct. So Tosis wants to understand why you can't cook, the Gemara says explicitly, you can't cook milchiks in a fleshika pot. Why isn't that considered a tam sheni? Right? The fleshiks went from the basar into the pot. Now it's going from the pot into the milk. So that's a tam sheni. And we said that according to Shita Satosis, Tam Sheni is not considered Tam Ki Ikar. So the whole entity of not cooking milchiks in a fleshing a pot, that assumption, which is explicit in the Sugya, comes under attack now, comes under question, because we're assuming that Tam Sheni ain't no oser, according to Tosfos. So I believe we have an answer to this question. What would be your answer to the question of cooking milchiks in a fleshika pot? Why would that be asur, even though it's a tam sheni, which is not tam ki ikar according to Tosfos? Anybody see that?
What, because of rotev?
I'm not sure if there's rotev. I would say that this is miyad. You remember that we said, according to Tosfos, that there's got to be an interruption. You have to be able to say that at one point the tam was not omed litztarev. Yeah. There was stage one when he cooks the fish in a fleshing kapot, and stage two when he takes the fish and he cooks it with milchiks. Here, he's cooking milchiks in a fleshing kapot, which means that the very moment that the tam sheni of basar enters into the tavshil, it's already mitztaref with the tav of chalav, because what does he have in the tav shil? He's got chalav. Od kosva tosus liyashev she'ein levashel chalav b'kdera b'sarit b'shum sh'atav ha'sheni hu b'isur. Now again, that would make sense according to the Rabban, who holds that the thrust or the entire heter of Shmuel's not bar not is because of tam shlishi, and here it's a tam sheni. But according to Tosus, who holds that even a tam sheni is mutter, he says the chol heter not bar not who rak b'makom shahaya tam sheni mutter. I think he's saying our vart over here, that the tam sheni has to have a moment of heter. So when you cook fish in a fleshiger pot, what's the status of that tam sheni?
That's it.
It's heter, right? I can eat the fish even though it's fleshiger fish. But here, the moment that the tam basar enters into this tav shil shel chalav, it's not mutter, it's already basar b'chalav.
We said tam sheni is not tam tiikar.
But again, it's only because, that's why we're adding this this proviso, it's because right now it's a tam heter. I have to, so to speak, make a declaration that this tam sheni is a tam heter. I can only declare that if it goes into fish, because then everything's mutter. So I can call it a tam heter. But if it goes into milk, so it comes out of the Kedera Besaris right into milk, which is the tavshil that I'm cooking in this Kedera Besaris, then I can no longer point to one moment in time and say, well, the Tav Sheni was heter. The very split second the Tav Sheni exited from the walls of the Kli and entered into the tavshil Shel Cholav, it was already a Cheftza Di Surah of Basar B'Cholav. Okay. Now, on the next page, which I think you have is Kuf Nun Zayin, we have here a Yad Yehuda. And a Schatoy Rimaska, I keep forgetting to remind myself to tell you who the Yad Yehuda is. Some said it was Landau, right?
Yeah, that's what I found.
But I have the Yad Yehuda on the other side of this wall, I believe. So I just have to find the time to find it.
I'll tell you where it is. Right there.
Oh, you know where it is? Because I have my own copy. Maybe the yeshiva has its copy.
Yeah, there's one.
All right, so either take my copy because it has my name in it, or you can take the yeshiva copy. Now, his language is a bit... Oh, wow, two volumes. I didn't realize two volumes.
Tell all of us and also...
Yeah, and just flip over to the Shire and tell me what the name of the author is. Is it Landau? Because again, the word, the name Yad Yehuda, probably 15 Sfarim with the same name. Now our latest grandson is Yehuda, so he's going to write a book called the Yad Yehuda. Oh, does it say anything about the Nod of Yehuda there? Like Nin V'Neched? No, it doesn't say that. And where was that published? In Chernovitz?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, in Chernovitz.
Chernovitz, yeah.
Oh, that was a Polish city that had a tremendous amount of Talmidei Chachamim, and it was a great center of publishing. So I have, let's say, half of a Chernovitz Shas. I'm looking for the other half. But I have to steal a bank in order to buy the other half.
It's
about 300 years old. And if I'm not mistaken, what was unique about the publishing in Chernovich and also in Zhytomyr is that they only allowed Shomer Shabbos people to work in the publishing the printing house, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Hasidish Yidin were very excited about that because they wanted to know that. You know, here they write, you know, Lo Nitpas, the New York Sheish Pochil Shabbos. Have you ever seen that? No? You never saw it?
Absolutely.
I would be surprised if it's right here. Well, I don't see it right now, but I'm pretty sure that in almost any religious book today that's on the market, they'll write Nitpas v'niyar she'ein bo chashash kol Shabbos. I'm not sure if they write that on toilet paper, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Anyway, so it's anything that you might be using. It's not the Divrei Kedusha.
Right. All right. So he writes the following: Ludeos Elu, Ein Klishus Hatav, Machmas Atzmo, Al Yidesha Ovar Lebokom Acher.
So Kuflun Zion.
Zion.
Elo Mekabel Hatav, Hu Baklisho. Wow, this is a fascinating question. You hear what he's asking? When we say that Tav Sheni is not Tav Ki'ikar, according to Tosfos, it doesn't generate a Tav, is that because A, the Tav itself is weak? Or is it because it doesn't have the impact on the Tav Shil when you cook a Tav Shil in that Tav Sheni? Anybody hear the difference between the two?
No.
I'll go over it one more time. There are two ways of understanding why Tav Sheni is Eino Asa. One is because the Tav itself is a Tav Kolish. The other is because once it's a Tav Sheni, it's not going to have that desired impact on the Tav Shil when you cook in that pot or with that substance. So again, I can say it in two ways. Let's say, for example, he cooks fish in a fleshika pot. So one way of saying it is that that Tav Sheni itself is mutter. Why? Because it's a weak Tav. It went from the basar into the kli, and from the kli into the fish. The other way is to say no. The blia per se, if I could isolate it, would be, call it a cheftzidi surah, would be basar mamish. However, since it's a Tav Sheni, it doesn't have the power to have an impact on the Tav Shil when I cook it that, when I cook that fish in Kutach. Now this, my friends, touches on another principle that we've discussed in the past, which is called what? Don't say Tav Lefgam. Do you follow? In other words, if you have an Ikar Tav, then we always assume that it's no say Tav Lefshvach. So for example, if you have a Tav Rishon, and you cook, let's call it fish with meat in the same pot, then the premise is, don't ask me questions from the chef world, but that the tav of the basar that goes into the dogim is a tav l'shvach. However, once you take the fish with the tav of basar inside of it, and now you want to cook that fish with challah, right, then we have a principle called Tav Kolosh. That a Tav Sheni is a Tav Kolosh. And the Yad Yehuda is vacillating back and forth. What does it mean that the Tav Sheni is a Tav Kolosh? So what? One way of saying it is that a Tav Kolosh is not what the Torah envisioned, and that's not what the Torah included into Esau. The Torah said that the original Tav Basar is also, but not the Tav of Basar that comes through the Kli and from the Kli into the Tav Shil. That's already a Tav Kolush, and that's not what the Torah calls Tav. The other way of saying it is that, Nain, you're making a big mistake. The Tav itself is a real Tav Isur. So for example, if I were to cook, just to give you an example of nevela, if I cook nevela in a pot, then the tav balu of that nevela is a tav of isur. Even though the tav of nevela went from the nevela to the pot, and from the pot into, let's say, my kosher meat. That's called a tav of isur, which would indicate that even though it's a tav sheni, and even though it's a tav kolush, nevertheless, it's awesome. And that's going to lead us to the other definition, the alternative, that although the tam sheni in the kli is a tam isur, but nevertheless it doesn't have the power to transmit its tam. It's not contagious enough, if you follow me, infectious enough to pass on its tam into another tavshil, because a tam kolush that penetrates its tam into the tavshil now becomes tam pogum. It's not a tam l'shvach.
I thought pogum only has to do with the time. That it's pogum if it's not bar ben yomo.
Pogum means that it doesn't have a positive impact on the tavshil. That could be under one of two situations. Might be three situations. Like the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah, where a mouse jumps into his wine, his barrel of wine. So that's a tam pogum. You can have another case of a tam pogum where the tam within the kli is an old tam.
Yeah.
Now, we're suggesting a whole new approach. You could have a tam pogum which is not going to impact lishvach when you cook in that pot, because the tam itself is a tam sheni, and a tam sheni itself is a tam kolush. What does that mean, a tam kolush? It doesn't have the power to pass on its tam to create a tam lishvach in the tam shil. And again, we're only applying this in the case of a terebola, right? A terebola. Jeff, you want to do me a gewaldige chesed? Sorry, I should take care of this before, but I filled in for my boys today, so I had an extra shear, messed up my whole schedule.
Why
so
does
I
that make it public?
No time for photocopy, no time for drinking hot water.
It's pogrom.
Now, Rabosai, I'm going to try to see if we can develop this concept of the Yad Yehuda a little bit further, to develop it to the next stage. Let's talk about the following question, which may sound familiar to you. I have a spoon, and it's a milchika spoon. I used it for milchiks, and I stirred my milchika cheese just an hour ago. Now, the spoon is clean. It's a ben yomo. And I take this milchika spoon and I penetrate it into a fleishika tavshil. So I'm cooking my cholin and I take this spoon that this morning was used in a milchika cooking. Now it's clean. But it's a chalav ben yom, it's a kli chalavi ben yomo, and I do a tchiva, and I penetrate it into my tavshil shel basa. So the Shulchan Aruch says in that case you need shishim in the basa against the kaf, as it's called, the spoon,
the whole spoon,
because the spoon is considered to have maximized its blia of chalav.
Mm-hmm.
So I need shishim against the entire calf. Fine. Now, I take this calf. What does the calf have inside it now? Assuming there was no shishim, right? It has what? Both basar and chol. So a hot meat with hot milk has now been absorbed within this calf. The calf is what you'd call basar and chol. Now he takes his kaf and again penetrates it into a tavshil. I don't care which tavshil. It makes no difference whether it's basar or chol, because now it's a kaf asura. So the shach says the following, that how long of a time period has passed since he penetrated this calf into the tavshil shel basar, and how much time has passed since the original use of the calf with cholav? Says the Shach, it could be that 24 hours have passed since the original use of the kaf in milk, which would mean that the tam of the cholam is what? Tam pogum. But I'm going to calculate my 24 hours from the moment that he penetrated the kaf choleves into a tavshel shel basar. And if within 24 hours of that tchiva, he will use the spoon in another tavshil, then everything becomes osur. Again, we're all on the same day, but the day begins with what? When is daybreak, as far as counting 24 hours? The moment that he does the tchiva where? In the tavshil shel basar.
That was the first
thing. Frech de Bach, I don't know what the man is talking about. If 24 hours have already passed since the original use of the kaf cholav, then the tam of the cholav is the tam pogum. How can the Shach say that that tam pogum is going to generate an isur when he uses the kaf in another tavshil, when that tam is a tam pogum?
But the isur started where the tiva.
What's that called? I'm testing you here a little bit. That's called Chaticha Nasis Nevela. I think you've heard of that. Which means that the moment that he does the Tchiva into the Tavshel Shel Basar, what emerges here is a new Issa called Basar B'chol. And the Shach says that we should start counting 24 hours from the moment that the Issa emerges. Says the Bach, what are you talking about? Duretznadishkeit. Pashat, he says, this can't be Chaticha Nasis Nevela. You can't create a Chaticha Nasis Nevela from a Tam Cholov that's Pogu. Basar B'Cholov creates Chaticha Nasis Nevela when both Tam and Basar and Cholov are healthy Tam and Lishvach. But if one of those two Tam is a Tam Pogu, you have no right to apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. So Rabosa, what I'd like to do for the next 5 minutes is try to be miyashiv the kasha of the Bach on the Shach based on this Yad Yehuda. Again, it sounds like a lot of achronim, but keep in mind when you're learning Basar B'Cholav, the Shach is like a Rishon. I mean, all the breakthroughs in Basar B'Cholav are in the Shach. So if I try to come up with an answer to defend the Shach, it's not like, you know, some people are very cynical. They say, oh, Achronish and Torah, you know, let's go back to the Rishon. But the Shach is like a Rishon. I was once present this year. Rav Soloveitchik couldn't understand the Shach. He spent hours racking his brain. It wasn't like he said, well, the Shach was stupid. You know what I'm saying? It was wrong. And I know better than the Shach. Oh, no. He was totally bevatel himself to the Shach. If I have a kasha on the Shach, it's because I don't understand the Shach. You know, if you don't like Rembrandt, it's not because Rembrandt has a problem. You're the problem. You know what I'm saying? So that's how he approached the Shach. I remember the Magen Avraham also. In Rav Soloveitchik's world, the Magen Avraham was mamish like a Rishon. Not always. You know, sometimes he would just dismiss the Magen Avraham. But more often than not, he harvested to try to understand the Magen Avraham. There were very few achronim that were on the table, especially Sephardic achronim. Forget it. I think he came up with three, I think, that deserved to be on the table. Anyway, Reb Chaim didn't have too many svarim on his desk. You know, it's basically just a Rambam and a Gemara. You know, there were a few svarim that the Reb Chaim was a big fan of the Minchas Chinuch. And I think if I remember correctly, he had a Minchas Chinuch on his desk. So let's see if this Yad Yehuda could possibly shed a light on the Shach. The Shach again is going to start calculating 24 hours from the moment of the Tchiva of the Kaf Cholevis into a Tavshel Shel Basar. This despite that more than 24 hours have passed since the original use of this Kaf in Cholev. Let's take the logic of the Yad Yehuda and see if it would help us. The Yad Yehuda is saying that we make a big mistake about not bar not if we assume that a Tavsheni in and of itself, shitas atosis, is mutter, because that's not what we're saying at all. What Tosis means when he says that the Tam Sheni is mutter, he means to say that the Tam Sheni would not be able to have an impact of enhancing the Tavshil, because the Tam Sheni is kolush. It's a Tam Kolush. Tam Kolush means that it, if you use that Tam, or if you cook in that Tam, what you're going to end up with is a Tam Lifgam, is a Tam Pogu. If you're following the logic, it means when you're too far away from the original Tam, the Tam becomes so weak that instead of having an enhancement of the Tavshil, it has the exact opposite, detracts from the Tam of the Tavshil. Now again, it's not as radical as, let's say, a mouse that fell into a cholent, right? That's really a Tam Pogu. That's called the Eder Ruil Ager. But nevertheless, it has a Miktas Pegima in the Tavshil. However, the Tam itself is Asur, even though it's a Tam Sheni. If we apply that to the Shach is saying the following: that even if 24 hours have passed since the original use of the kaf with cholov, nevertheless, the tam of the cholov is asur. So what does it mean that when we say 24 hours passed, is it ben yomo? Who can steal the next sentence from my mouth? Jeff? That it doesn't have the ability to impact on the next Tavshil. Why? Because it's going to have a detrimental impact on the Tav. It's going to be pogame the Tavshil. It's not going to be Meshabeach the Tavshil. But the Tav itself, if you could isolate it, would be considered a Tav of Isur. That Tav of Isur remains a Tav of Isur, even if it's an Edo Ben Yomo. The Edo Ben Yomo only weakens the Tav, let's call it a kilkul atam, to such an extent that now, if you cook in that tam of Edo Ben Yomo, what you can end up with is a pgima in which it's pogem the tavshil. It's exactly parallel to what the Yad Yehuda is saying in the Balei HaTosfos, that although tam sheni in and of itself is mutter, it doesn't mean that it's mutter. We're making a big mistake. What Tosis means is that Tam Sheni is Asur, but it's mutter only as far as cooking in that Tam Sheni, because the Tam Sheni is a Tam Kolush, it's Asur, but it cannot generate a Shvach in the Tavshil. Is Vemela, if we apply that same structure to the Shach, we come to the conclusion that we start calculating 24 hours from the moment that he does the tchiva into the tavshil shell basar. And why is that? Because even if the Bach will argue against the Shach that the original tam of cholov, since 24 hours passed, makes it into a tam pogum, but that's not true. It's not a tam pogum. It's a tam hapogim. Let's see it inside the Yad Yehuda. He says, "In klishus atam machmas atzmo." The concept of tam kolush in a tam sheni is not a tam machmas atzmo. Al yidei she'omer l'makom acher ella mekabel hatam. Makabel atam means the recipient. The recipient of that tam, hu baklisho, is going to have a weak impact on the makabel atam. So you see where he's shifting from the atzmo to the makabel. The atzmo is the tam itself. The makabel is the recipient of that tam.
And the recipient is functioning maklisho, that the recipient is what causes it to be weak.
And the reason for that is because it becomes like a tam pogum in the recipient. Dahainu kasha tam over the tam shall re... Okay, this is already a different approach. Now, if you fast forward to the Mata Yonah's son, he says, Madua osel vashel chalav bekadera shebishel babasar, and he writes that Omnob Ludeus Zu Tam Shady Mutal Gamre. So he's disagreeing with the Yad Yehud. He's saying that the Tam itself is heter. Ach Zeu Dafka Ibis Ari Vimachal Acher. Oh, maybe, I'm not sure. Now I'm a little confused. Maybe he's Taka saying like the Yad Yehud. Let's say Dafka Ibis Ari Vimachal Acher. Sheyeshlo Tam Upleta Mitzad Atzmo. I'm finding this language a little bit heavy. You know, it's a little bit ambiguous for me. Sheyesh lo tam upleita mitzad atzmo ulkach nikla shatav shel basar ach in nifla b'kedera she'ed bo tam mishal atzmo is Dechshav Letav Rishon Im Nivla B'Kedera She'en Letav Mishal Atzma. What does he mean, a brand new Keli? It sounds like he's talking about a guy who went into a clay bayit store and he walked out with a pot, and the pot is crystal clear. So therefore the pot itself has no Tav Mishal Atzma. It's Dechshav Letav Rishon. Uvisesha nivla bin a kdeira, dechshav kilu nivla bin a basar, dechshav kitam rishon. So the first time he cooks in a brand new pot, fleshiks, obviously the tam of the basar is a tam rishon. Lachein asur levashel chalav bikdeira shabishel ba basar. And we're not worried. He says, "Also the vashel chola b'kedera shebishel b'basar, ki tama b'kedera lo niklash, b'tama b'basar shebechalav nechshav ki lo yotza me'abasar l'chola." So, in which of these two cases does the Mata Yonason say that we have to be machmir? Is it the case where he cooks fleshiks for the very first time in this pot, and it's a brand new pot? Or is it a case where he's been cooking constantly in this pot? In the first case, where it's brand new, he says, Ein lo tam mishal atzma. And in the second case, where he's been using the pot on various or a myriad of occasions, tama basa shemekdera lo niklash. Oh, wow. He's going to be more machmir in the case of a kedera she'ela tam mishal atzma, because then what happens is the basa takes over the entire kli, and that makes it into a tam rishon. But in the case where he was mevashel many, many times, then the tam basa, the kedera lo niklash, it doesn't become a tam kolosh. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we'll daven mincha and Eretz Hashem. We'll try to pick this up. Does anybody have a pencil here?
Yes.
Oh, I'll give it right back. Here, Jeff, take it back.
What's interesting was they had Tsikishnevsky Day. The previous day, they had last time had the Rebbe and the Pinchas Steinberg.